Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Jared and I pulled a Karnak. You know what Karnak is?
Yeah, I remember Karnak.
Old Johnny Carson bit.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day. We pulled a Karnak with in regards to the Colorado Rockies story. We all knew it was coming. We'll tell you what that is. Preseason college football poll released yesterday. The coaches poll, that is. Any surprises? Who's too high? Who's too low? And then also came across a list of the college football odds. It's got national title odds, conference title odds, and then over-under totals. We can kind of talk a little bit about that. ESPN released their NFL FPI. It's got a ranking, top 10. I thought there was one team that was in the top 10 of the FPI that was a little surprising to me. Also, along with the FPI, most likely scenarios for Super Bowl, what matchup it could be, who's the most likely to get there, and also make the playoffs and all that sort of thing. So a lot to kind of look into there as, you know, football, pro football has officially started. You know why?
Because
Hard Knocks has started. It has officially started. So we'll get
not the Pro Bowl, or excuse me, the Hall of Fame game.
Nah.
Not that.
No. Hard Knocks.
It's Hard Knocks.
But none other than the Dallas Cowboys.
We would play audio, but I don't think we can.
I heard the guys this morning playing some audio.
There are some. Man. I like that. I like how it's real, though. You get the real talk from the coaches, the real talk from the players.
They don't hold back. I did not watch it. I played golf last night, so I did not watch it.
You played golf at 9 o'clock last
night. I was getting home a little somewhere in there. But I did hear some audio. CeeDee Lamb, that was pretty funny. The audio of
you got to remind me.
Trying to tell people not to hit him in the nuggets.
Oh, right. You said last year that happened.
Yes. Yeah. There was a
trying
big,
to knock the ball out. And they
felt
missed.
Like a big deal about Jerry Jones putting salt on his McGriddle.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be a thing.
And then also the cake.
If Jerry Jones sneezes, it's going to be a big deal.
I want to get into that, actually. The salt on the McGriddle.
Okay.
I've never done it, but it seems like a great idea. Also, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, 2 weeks away. 2 weeks from Friday. Season
opener. You know what? I'm ready. Like.
Season opener for the Big Elk.
Technically, with all the stuff we got, I mean, yesterday I was setting stuff up. I'm ready to go. Usually this time of year I get my high anxiety. You know, my anxiety level's pretty high.
Yes.
Right now I'm ready. Right now I'm ready for some sponsors and get some ads in there.
We've had 3 days of practice, Monday, Tuesday, and today. Pads start popping Friday.
Oh, boy. Like what time? Like 5 a.m.?
I guess at midnight if you wanted to.
Don't schools do that?
Some do. I believe some do.
It's cool.
Well, it's here. We've already had some fast pitch softball. Had a little fall baseball. It's all cranking up. It's hard to believe summer is over.
Yeah, we took the kids to school last night to meet the teachers and drop off their school supplies. And it's like, hey, here it is.
Starts tomorrow.
And at the same time, there is a high school baseball game happening right behind the school. It was really cool because one of my kids' classroom, you could look out the window and get a clear view of the scoreboard. So I was able to check out what the score was. But yeah, school is on. The majority of everybody out here, I think, is tomorrow. Except for Sarah.
Sarah's a week.
In a week.
That is correct.
Because of inflation.
That is cleaning, I found out. Getting the cafeteria good and clean after it was revamped, rebuilt.
Not rebuilt, but what do you call that? Upgraded. Remodeled.
Yeah, built. Yeah,
is it brand new?
A bunch of it is. A bunch of that area. A bunch of this stuff is, yes.
Awesome.
So
that's pretty cool.
It is. Needs to be built.
I plan on calling some superintendents today to do a little preview story of back to school.
Oh, here we go.
Getting some, seeing how's everybody's, how everybody's doing. Enrollment-wise, staff-wise, what the changes some schools can expect.
It could be interesting to see. Maybe not here, but I've been reading stories that enrollment across the country is down in the millions.
Because they're scared?
Or maybe tired of putting up with the madness.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that.
I think there's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
You know, you're starting to see as school gets started around the country, getting closer, starting to see parents at school board meetings.
Oh, did you see Clay Travis yesterday?
Absolutely, yeah. I did.
Bravo.
There was a lot of people there.
Supporting him.
Supporting the
and
no
he
mask.
Put down good facts. If you don't know what we're talking about, listener, go on Twitter, just look up Clay Travis, who has...
To no avail, by the way, because they went ahead and implemented
ridiculous.
The mask mandate
What
there.
He compared it to made a ton of sense. The seasonal flu.
It does.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. Anyhow, moving on.
Thank God we live in Western Oklahoma.
Well, I'll agree with that. NFL FPI. So, we...
FPI meaning...
Here you go.
What do you got?
A little preview to your story.
You got a superintendent texting you?
No, but the enrollment here being Elk City,
yeah,
is so high, they've had to hire another kindergarten teacher.
That was my story. That
people
was
coming
one question.
From everywhere.
My question was, A, what's enrollment look like?
Mm-hmm.
I know we got superintendents who listen because I'll get complaints. Say, hey, you're not talking about my school enough. B, if enrollment's high, how is are you fully staffed? Did you have to add staff?
There you go.
And then C, it's probably a mute point, but COVID concerns.
Oh, I'm sure they're there. There's no doubt about that. But
what a school is, you know, just in case they're told, because I'm told this or I've read the superintendent and governor are going to meet and basically give control back to the school of what they want to do. And again, thank goodness we live out here in Western Oklahoma, where we don't, it's not as prevalent as it is in the more populated areas like Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Lawton, as far as forcing stuff on your kids' face.
I have seen, let's not get into
it. I know, we're going to go forever.
Withholding, the threat of withholding of paychecks down in Florida from the governor because he said no mask mandates. And if school districts don't comply, which there's some that are already saying countywide, you know, he said, okay, that's fine. We're not going to pay you. We're going to withhold the funds to pay you. That's pretty.
You
that's
know, I have
pretty
a,
incredible.
Being in the media, I've always had a staunch rule of mine. I won't put political signs in my yard because I don't want people to know which way I'm leaning.
Right.
But I think when DeSantis declares that he's running for president,
you're gonna have
I'm going to have one of those
a Ronnie D sign.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
Okay, moving on.
NFL FPI.
FPI.
Well, I got a lot to say about
I don't know what FPI stands for. I'll be honest.
It is
with you.
A football power index.
Okay.
They do this for
I knew the F would probably stand for football.
But they do this for the colleges and then now the NFL one. Until the
how
FPI.
How do they compute this?
Forward-looking projection model that includes ratings, projections for every team from projected win-loss records to percentages to win each division. The model determines forward-looking strength ratings for every team based on a variety of factors, including team win total, projected starting quarterback, returning starters, past performance on offense, defense, special teams. FPI then uses those ratings to simulate the season 20,000 times to create these projections.
This is a nerd's dream.
Yes.
A mathematician's dream.
Yes, it is. And after all of that that I just read from the article,
okay,
because I certainly didn't know that off the top of my head. The most likely team to win the Super Bowl is?
Probably not a shocker.
Who do you think it is?
The Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs. 19% chance that the Kansas City Chiefs will be the Super Bowl champions. Super Bowl, I'm not great with Roman numerals, but is it 56?
It's 50.
LVI.
Plus.
L is 50, V is 5, 1 is 6. Yep, 56. Chiefs first at 19%. Second is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, returning everybody from last year's Super Bowl championship team. 15% there. Then you got the Bills at 9%. Packers, Ravens, 49ers at 6%. Browns, Rams, Seahawks at 5%, and then the Titans at 3%. Everybody else too minuscule to list. I have no problem with the Chiefs being on the top of that list. They've made the Super Bowl two straight years, won one, lost one. And with Patrick Mahomes not quite at the level of pay that he's going to be, the Chiefs are still able to have enough around him to support him. So I have no problem with the Kansas City Chiefs being the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
No, I think that was pretty much known going in, even after as soon as last year's Super Bowl was over. I think that was known. But, I mean, there was doubt thrown into it when you saw Tampa Bay retained everybody. So, because that's the biggest thing on any championship team at any NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, you have a championship team and all of a sudden the team breaks down for what, you know, through trades and free agency and draft, and you got to make room for guys and all that stuff. Tampa Bay is the rare exception where they've kept it all together. So, you know, that casts a little doubt into Kansas City being the overall favorite going into this year. But like you said, Kansas City, kind of in the same vein, they've been able to retain a lot of guys and add to what their needs are. And of course, the big key is Patrick Mahomes. They still got that guy on the roster.
It is,
and he's still performing. Is it weird to say? I mean, he's still young. I mean, who knows if he's hit a ceiling? I don't know if he has. But the big question for me, not after this season, or, you know, after this season and beyond, is when the money starts really focusing on Mahomes, and then other guys like, well, wait a minute, what about where's my share? And they're going off to other places. That's the big question. And it's not so much a question for Kansas City, but it's a question for Mahomes. Like, okay, you're going to lose some pieces. Can you still perform at a high level?
That's right, and that's what you see. There's no doubt about that. The easiest time to win a Super Bowl is when you have a great young quarterback that outperforms his rookie deal.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it in Seattle with Russell Wilson. What happened? When he got paid, not as good. The Legion of Boom broke up.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that's a little bit of the beauty and almost a little bit of the secret of Tom Brady throughout all these years. He didn't always take the most money on the table.
Right.
He understood that. Mahomes clearly did not do that. But now, is he good enough to elevate everyone else? And I think another thing that it shows you is how important the draft becomes to be able to supplement the weaker spots of your team with cheap labor, because Mahomes isn't going to be that. And so to find these young players that can step in right away, be ready to play at a certain level to continue that role, that's what's going to be super-duper important for the Chiefs moving forward. One thing they did do, I think we all saw it in that Super Bowl, what was the main problem for the Chiefs against the Buccaneers?
Block.
They couldn't block.
Right.
They've upgraded the offensive line, you would think. Orlando Brown, one of the additions. Both tackles are different. Also, from all the preseason reports, all the camp reports, it looks like Creed Humphrey is going to be the starter at center. So, you know, you've got basically an entirely new offensive line there. Will that be the upgrade they're hoping for it to be? By name, you know, with the two tackles, Orlando Brown being one of the best offensive linemen in the league? Yeah. But will it work? And to me, that's the thing. I mean, Kansas City's defense, much maligned for a lot of this run, you know, it was like the 11th best in the league, or kind of going in per this FPI. That's not a problem when your offense is that good,
right?
You know, when you look at that offense and with these projections, they're projected to score almost a field goal more than anybody per game, and we've seen this right here in this state in college football. We're not asking OU and OSU to be the best defense in the country. Just don't suck, and you'll win
just
a lot of games.
Make two or three stops
that's
a
right.
game, and yeah.
That in Kansas City's defense, I think, is even a little bit better than that. So with the we'll see what happens with the revamp offensive line. If it works the way it's supposed to, there's no reason to believe anything other than the Chiefs are going to be the best offense in the league with Mahomes and all those weapons. Now, Tampa Bay, like you said, this is something that I don't even know if we have ever seen this since free agency became a thing back in the mid-90s. And that is, a team fully intact to come back and defend a Super Bowl championship. It's incredible. I honestly don't think this has ever happened where everybody is back. The band got back together.
Yeah, I can't. There's nothing of recent memory.
No, I mean, for everybody.
Everybody.
You know, you see a lot of times teams come back mostly intact, but not fully intact like this. So here's my question, though. How much extra of a bump do you think Tampa Bay is receiving due to that Super Bowl run? Because remember, they didn't even win their division.
Right. It took them a little bit to gel with Brady. A little bit. Like, I remember the early game against New Orleans. They just didn't look like they could even move the football. And then they had struggles with Kansas City.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'll never forget.
I mean, I'm just going through memory. I'm not even looking at
I will never forget sitting there, and your fantasy points –
yeah.
Looked like a slot machine.
Yeah.
They were going so fast in that first quarter with Tyreek Hill catching. What did he end up with? Over 200 yards in the first quarter or something?
Yeah, exactly. Went nuts. Yeah.
I think that's the secret more than anything about what happened for Tampa Bay. We all want to say, oh, yeah, they gelled with Brady and they figured it out. I think it was more on the other side. The defense is the one that got better and better and better and
that
better.
That Kansas City game better. In the regular season was a turning point in a good way for Tampa Bay, because then you notice they changed a little bit. For one, they didn't want to get embarrassed again.
That's right.
And then they changed a little bit of philosophy wise. So,
well, yeah. Hey, I got a crazy idea. Don't single cover Tyreek Hill. Yeah. I'm not even a defensive coordinator in the NFL. I can tell you that's a bad idea. Are you kidding?
Yes. Oh, we're all armchair quarterbacks. But
well, I could have told you before the game started.
I think we all could have figured that one out.
Yes, yes.
but yeah, I mean, I give pause a little bit to Tampa Bay because of the same reasons I give pause to LeBron James and same reason I give pause to Tom Brady is when will he get old? So it's easy to bet on him now because you've bet on him so many times and he's made you so much money. You know what I'm saying? I'm okay. So people are like, oh, it's okay to bet on him again. If he finally gets old and, you know, at least we were right, what, seven times, six times? How many championships did he have? A dozen and a half? And my goodness. So it's easy to bet on him is what I'm saying until he lets you down.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I mean, I think Tom Brady, sure. I'm not going to believe he gets old until I actually see it. And he's lost a little bit, but he's still plenty good enough
to
win.
But he knows how to win.
Exactly.
And he's smart. You talk about the money side of things. He was so smart to...
Well, that's a big reason why they can bring everybody back.
Right. And
because
that's
why
it worked in New England. And it's why it's working here. In Tampa Bay.
So you have those...
By the way, we're not in Tampa Bay. That'd be nice, though.
Oh, it would be nice.
Well, not with Fred coming.
You have those two. You got the Bills, Packers, and Ravens rounding out the top five.
I agree with that.
A lot of people like the Bills. Josh, we're going to see what happens to them. Josh Allen just signed that massive extension that kind of paves the way now to see what Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson end up getting. I think it's interesting that the most likely Super Bowl matchup is a rematch. 8% chance that we have a rematch. You know the last time that happened?
Bills Cowboys?
Correct, 1993. So that I thought that was really interesting that something that hasn't happened, what is that going to be now, 29 years, 28 years, is the most likely scenario. I don't think it happens. One of those two teams isn't getting back. I would, in my mind, it's going to be the Bucks more than the Chiefs right now. But
really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, not getting back.
Not getting back.
I'm sorry. I heard that wrong.
Yeah. Bucks, I just don't see it. But I did think that was interesting. Some of the other notable teams in that top five, the one that shocked me with that just on the projections, Miami.
Yeah.
Miami being the 10th best team in the league.
Is this based on
Tua being a projected starter?
He's got to be, right?
Because they haven't really professed their love for him exactly.
They've got Jacoby Brissett also in the mix. They've got a lot around him. You know, you like their team. Outside of, you know, what's Tua going to do? Jalen Waddle, we'll see what he does as a rookie wide receiver. A defense, I mean, they're good. I mean, they got the pieces. You know, forget all the stuff they did last year in the offseason to improve that team. But do we really trust Tua?
Yeah.
To lead a top 10 team in the NFL? Boy, I don't. And I like him. I thought he's going to be good. But he sure hasn't. He sure needs to show it.
Yeah.
How convinced are you that the Browns really are going to be good?
I'm convinced their window is small, and this is the year that window is small. Does that make sense?
Why?
Well, because they got, like you talk about talent about around everybody. You know, that's what Baker has right now. And
he's got it locked up, too. That's the one thing about them. They're not going anywhere with these. I mean, these guys aren't going anywhere.
Sure. And so so that's why I think that they are going to be good. And you know, they're not just going to be the Browns of the past where they were the guaranteed win on your schedule. But the window's small, in a sense where if there's it all depends on Baker and his abilities. Take care of the football, making good decisions, and we know we've seen good Baker in the NFL, and we've seen bad Baker. If we get more good Baker, he's gonna make some good money. But I mean, I don't know. I mean they're getting more respect. And I think it's valid. I think it's deserved.
40% chance that they win the division. Baltimore 43, according to this.
And see, and I talk about a window. You know, typically in that division, who are we talking about?
Pittsburgh.
Exactly. And they seem to be on the back end of Big Ben's career.
Oh, for sure.
And you know, so in that tough division, when Pittsburgh's down, there's your opportunity. So I just want to see, can they seize it?
I think Pittsburgh is one of the most interesting teams there is, because I think their range is incredibly different. You know, they went from, what were they, 11-0 last year to start?
Yeah.
And then right. Kind of fell off the map.
Fell off. Yeah.
Injuries, obviously, a huge part of that.
And the funny thing was, when they went 11-0,
nobody
trusted it. Even Pittsburgh fans were kind of like, well, this is nice.
But you can talk yourself into, if Ben is Ben, they could win that division.
Yeah.
You can talk yourself into it, because their defense is going to be very, very good. And if they can get back to more, I mean, you know, when obviously the Cowboys game, and then, I mean, it was such a dink and dunk. They couldn't do anything else offense because of Ben just, you know, I don't know if I've ever even heard of a Tommy John surgery on a quarterback. You hear about it in baseball all the time.
Yeah.
But I do think they have a huge range. I mean, would you be shocked if at the end of the year Pittsburgh went 12-5?
No.
But would you be shocked if they went 6-11?
No.
They're that team. Obviously, the Cowboys are going to be a big topic of conversation around here on the text line. Zeke does look fantastic. I agree. You almost wonder why doesn't he look like this all the time? From a physical standpoint, looks like he shed weight. He looks good.
He looks determined.
He does.
To put last year behind him.
He does. And you know, Dak's health is going to be a big part of that. You have to assume the Cowboys offense is going to be awesome. I think
CeeDee Lamb doing CeeDee Lamb things.
I think you're going to see that. He's the one guy I think you're going to see completely take off into a whole nother level of player is going to be CeeDee. Now, Jerry Jones last night, we've got to talk about this. First off, is there any debate whatsoever that the McGriddle is the greatest breakfast sandwich ever created?
I don't like it.
You don't like it? Oh my! Wait a minute! Wait a minute! Whoa! 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 You don't like the McGriddle?
The McGriddle uses the pancake.
Yes.
No, I don't like it.
Why not?
I like the biscuit. I like the biscuit.
You like the McDonald's biscuit better than the McGriddle?
The bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit. I don't like the pancake. I don't like that touching any other. If I'm eating a pancake, I want pancake and syrup, and that's it.
Oh. This is disappointing news.
Well, I'm
Jared.
Sorry I'm disappointing you. I'm sorry I'm an individual, and I'm not afraid to say it.
This is horrible news. You, boy.
When he unwrapped the sandwich, I saw it was a McGriddle. I was like, well, there's the problem with the Cowboys. He's eating the McGriddle.
No.
Or was it the salt he was putting on it?
See, that's what I'm interested in, because it never occurs to me to put salt on the McGriddle. But, because I'm the sausage, I'd rather have sausage than bacon on the biscuit, on the McGriddle.
We were so opposites on our breakfast sandwiches.
And the sausage kind of has the salt component, the cheese kind of has the salt, but then you have the sweet of the McGriddle, of the pancake holder. And so would that be enhanced more by salting it? The salt sweet combo.
Is a little salt good for you?
I hope so.
It's like sodium. Is that what it is?
So, yeah. And the guys on the Morning Animals were talking about it. One of those sandwiches is like 46% of your suggested daily sodium intake.
Oh, wow.
So,
I didn't know that.
Extra salt on there bumps that up above, you know, half at least, depending on how much you salt it. And by the way, I did see a little bit of this clip video-wise. He salted the heck out of that thing.
Oh, he was...
He just kept on. Yeah. It was pretty amazing. Anyhow, Cowboys, they've got... I mean, if Dak is good, Zeke looks great from a physical standpoint. And there's that deal with the NFC East. Nobody's went back-to-back NFC East champs since 2004, I believe, with Philly. On paper... I think you have to believe that the Cowboys are the best team in the NFC East.
Yeah, you know, Washington's defense is going to be, speaking of salty, very salty, very good. They're going to be contenders. It doesn't look like there's a lot of rumblings that the Eagles might make a trade to get Deshaun Watson. If they have done that and you know, outside of all the litigation stuff he's dealing with, Deshaun Watson on the Eagles would make them, you'd think, better. But I don't think that's happening. So, yeah, I can see Cowboys, they're going to be – but the East is bad, right? I mean, they're still bad. It's not like they were – I mean, last year it was bad. This year, it's the rest of the league is – or the division is still bad. But if you could be the best team in a bad division, suddenly you're in the playoffs and you got a chance. All depends on health, man. Can Dak's shoulder – hopefully that's not a lingering issue.
Yeah, you wonder if that's not being caused by the last year's injury.
Well, it was Hard Knocks last night. Dak wanted to go. He wanted to prove his ankle was 100. I don't think the ankle is an issue for him mentally. I don't think he does trust it. I don't think that's going to be, because, you know, you come back from an injury like that, it's hard
Favor
to trust
something.
Hard
mm-hmm.
to trust your body. It didn't look like that. And then the coach was like, hey, listen, in a coach's meeting, I might be spoiling it for you. By the way, I'll give you the sign in. You could watch it. They were kind of, hey, man, we got to limit his reps. And their coach, well, he's wanting them. Well, then what happened? Sore shoulder. And all of a sudden, he's not throwing at all. So, again, I mean, like anything in any sport, it all depends on health. If they can stay healthy late in October, November, playoff push, win the division, yeah, the Cowboys' offense is going to be very, very good. Now the defense, new defensive coordinator. What changes there? I love what I saw from, was it Parsons?
Parsons looks awesome.
He looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
And if Van Der Esch can stay healthy and stay in the field for a full season, that could be a good linebacking core.
One thing that always matters, and it's one of the reasons why you see teams that didn't make the playoffs the year before jump up, and that is the schedule. And when you look at the strength of schedule – projected by this FPI, Washington, third hardest schedule in the league, Dallas, the 20th.
Well, that helps.
And then
if you're looking for a rebound year.
It's also the same way in that AFC North. The Ravens, 13th, toughest schedule. The Browns, 30th. Because the Browns are playing a third-place schedule.
Right.
If you remember right.
Right.
Pittsburgh's second toughest. So that might be something that you could look forward to as far as picks. The NFL season, it's pretty – it feels a lot like last year. I think the best teams are in the AFC, but I think it's still Kansas City and somebody else has to prove that they belong, that they can knock them off. And then in the NFC, jumble them up and throw them up in the air and pick one. I don't think there's a clear favorite in the NFC the way that there is in the AFC to me. I mean, would you be shocked if the Rams made the Super Bowl?
No.
Or Seattle or Green Bay?
No, of course not.
Or Tampa?
No, but, I mean, you say if I'm, you know, you're pointing a gun at my head and you ask me who's the favorite in the NFC, I would have to, well, it'd be a slight lean to Tampa.
Interesting.
Very slight. It's not as prominent as Kansas City in the AFC.
Yeah, not to me at all. I agree. Except I think I would go, see, but then you look, Green Bay, fourth toughest schedule.
Shoot, I wouldn't be surprised
Tampa's
if the, I wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers surge with Herbert. If it gets better than what he was last
most
year.
Most likely candidate to fall off the map, Justin Herbert.
Really?
Yesterday morning, a little bit after our show ended, the coaches' preseason college football poll was released to the public. And to no surprise whatsoever, the Alabama Crimson Tide are the number one team in the coaches' poll, receiving 63 out of the 65 possible first-place votes. Clemson, number two, Oklahoma, three, Ohio State, four, Georgia, five, A&M, six, Notre Dame, seven, Iowa State, eight, North Carolina, nine, Cincinnati, 10. That's the top 10. Two other Big 12 schools were in the poll, Texas at number 19, Oklahoma State at 22. Then just outside the poll and the others receiving votes, TCU, West Virginia were there. Any surprises whatsoever that Alabama starts the season as the number one ranked team in the country?
Absolutely not. I've been a believer that the defending champ should start number one. I've always thought that. And it's not hard when you have Alabama as the defending champ. That's not hard. Even though they've lost key players, but what does Alabama always do? They always reload. You know, they don't rebuild. They don't have down years. They reload. So talent's always going to be there. Recruiting doesn't lie. The recruiting stats and rankings don't lie. That's why they've always been up there. Doesn't shock me at all. They're number one. Not at all.
No, it doesn't shock me at all. Maybe mildly surprised at how number one they are, meaning 63 of the 65.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of what they lost. That's the only reason. Six first-round draft picks, 10 overall in the draft off of last year's national title-winning team. And it feels like sometimes the folks that vote for these look at that. And I actually think when we see the media poll, the AP poll, I don't think they'll be as dominant a number one. Because people are looking.
Yeah.
I think you got the media folks looking for somebody else. Whereas the coaches, kind of like what you're talking about, hey, they won, start number one, that's fine.
Coaches, they just go, okay, I
it's Alabama.
This. Okay,
yeah.
Click that.
Or
one,
some
that
SID
one,
or what
one,
have
one.
You.
Yeah.
I don't agree with just because you won last year, you automatically ought to get to start number one because it's not the same team. And I think last year was a perfect example. After getting 14 guys drafted off of that 2019 national title winning team, including the Heisman Trophy winner, LSU had no business being number one.
Well, that makes sense.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Bama's a different animal because it doesn't matter what they lose. They always find good players, right?
Like, I thought maybe I'm a little spurned because when Oklahoma won the national title the next year, they were not preseason number one. They hung around top five, maybe two or three forever. And they went up until the Nebraska game until they lost. You know, and people were questioning, like, wait a minute, they're the defending champs. They're still winning these big games. Yeah. How come they're not number one? And I've always kind of had that back in my mind. It's like, yeah, you know, they go and they win the national title. They should get, you know, but last year was weird though too, you know, with who opted out, you know, all that stuff. And you're right, they're in LSU lost a ton. So there are exceptions, but then when you're talking Alabama, it's like I said,
it's different. It's just different. It really is. Yeah. It feels different. So no surprise there. Bryce Young will try to step into the shoes of Mac Jones.
If he has time. I mean, he's making a lot of money. I don't know if he has time to.
And did you see Quinn Ewers, the high school kid?
No.
He signed a deal. DJ Uiagalelei, speaking of Clemson number two, he's going to be on the Fansville Dr. Pepper commercials.
Oh, really?
Yes. Clemson 2. OU 3.
I heard Spencer Rattler is going to be at the Mangum Rattlesnake Hunt.
Yeah. I wonder if he'll eat a beating heart like Chad Roper did a few years ago.
He might. You never know. If the money's right.
Oklahoma 3, that's fine. I don't think there's any way that they're going to be I do think there are people that are going to pick them to win the national title. A big part of that is they have a quarterback coming back when a lot of these teams around them don't. Alabama's breaking in a new quarterback. Clemson's going to have to break in a new quarterback. Ohio State's going to have to break in a new quarterback. Texas A&M, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically Oklahoma and Georgia are the two that people are talking about as an actual national title contender that don't have to do that. And that's a huge advantage. And if you don't believe that, just look back at a Kansas State and an Iowa State game last year for Spencer Rattler versus the end of the season in Bedlam or even in the Big 12 title game or the Florida game. Totally different looking dude.
Yeah.
And with, you know, the way that it is with four teams in the playoff, a couple of slip-ups and you're done. So,
worth noting, Oklahoma got those other two first-place votes.
They did, and that doesn't surprise me because of having the quarterback back and also a belief that Alex Grinch has actually turned the corner with the defense. And it's not the same as it was back in the, you know, 17, 18 years with OU's defense. So, let's say inside the top 10. Let's start there. Hmm. Are you surprised at where anybody is? Anybody too high, anybody too low for your taste?
Maybe Notre Dame. You know, their name carries them. I get it. You talk about losing a lot of players. That they're one of those teams that are breaking in a new quarterback, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Ian Book gone.
And then their schedule. I mean, their schedule, as always, is impressive. They're not afraid. That's why they like being independent, scheduling those games. So, I think at 7, maybe a couple of ticks too high. I'd actually switch them with North Carolina, or maybe put them at 7. Iowa State at, I'm sorry, put Notre Dame at 9. Iowa State at 7, and North Carolina at 8. Because I think they're better than Cincinnati, who, by the way, they play this year.
Yes.
You know, I think they're better than everybody below them at that point. But that's just maybe nitpicky right there, but I think Notre Dame is just a couple notches too high for my taste. The OU fan in me wants to say Texas A&M.
Oh, that's who I'm saying.
But the only loss I see on their schedule immediately is Alabama.
That's in College Station. They're breaking in new quarterback.
Yeah.
I think I'm interested to see what happens against Colorado. To see, but my gosh, look at that schedule.
A&M's?
Kent State, Colorado, New Mexico, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Alabama. Is this right?
I'm looking.
Okay, wait. That Colorado game is neutral, isn't it? It's a neutral site game. I think it's in Denver.
Oh, that's real neutral.
Well, I mean,
that's
at
like
the pro stadium.
Oklahoma City.
Well, I'm just saying
yeah,
the pro.
Yeah, I know.
But outside of that, they don't go on the road until October 16th. Mm. They had three road games.
Arkansas is neutral. You're right. That's Arkansas.
Arkansas and Colorado.
Arkansas and Colorado are neutral. Yeah, they don't hit the road.
Missouri.
Jack,
they go to Missouri, Ole Miss, and LSU.
Yeah, those are. And that LSU game is the last game of the regular season.
That's right.
So at that point, they can go in that game with one loss.
Boy, that schedule is.
And then you don't know about LSU. I mean, they're going to be better than last year, but are they?
Can I sign up for this schedule when Oklahoma moves
exactly,
to the SEC?
Exactly.
Holy Moses. Well, listen. If A&M doesn't, if A&M has more than two losses with this schedule, that's a disappointment.
Oh, sure it is.
Huge disappointment, even though they are breaking in a new quarterback.
Yeah.
Sign me up for this one.
Yeah. It'll be fun to see if Mike Leach's second year.
Yeah, it started out with such a bang.
Produces something and them going into –
Everyone thought
College Station.
The LSU win was going to be such a great deal, and then they just fell apart offensively.
Oh, now we know why that was.
And then obviously it wasn't such a great win.
Right.
Outside of the top 10, I'm really interested to see what North Carolina does. Can they be some sort of challenger to Clemson? Is it them? Could it be Miami? As much as we want to talk about Oklahoma dominating the Pac or the Big Ten or Big 12. Ohio State doing the same up in the Big Ten. Clemson has dominated the ACC to a different level with the beatdowns. I mean, they have been – no one has been there to even put up much resistance. Notre Dame beat them last year, but Notre Dame isn't in the conference. They were just kind of, it's kind of a one-year thing. So who can it be? Can it be anybody that really puts a challenge into Clemson? Sam Howlett, quarterback, North Carolina. You know, they were good last year, but – In the big games against the best teams, not really. You know, they got manhandled by Notre Dame in the second half there in Chapel Hill. They're interesting to me. And, of course, the one team that's always so interesting to me because everyone wants to be able to pound their chest at the end of the year and say, see, I told you so, they were back. Texas. At 19, suitable starting point in my mind. Texas has been better than people think, but they haven't been what people want them to be. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like what the president said to the Texas legislators. Like, hey, we've been winning, just not winning at the level we expect to win.
That's right.
And so 19, I think that's exactly where they need to be.
I think it is to start. Now, the question will be, are either one of us going to fall into the Texas is going to be good trap?
No.
You're not.
It's the quarterback for me.
You're not. Boy, I can feel myself being pulled. It's like I'm on the Millennium Falcon.
And it's not me trying to bash Texas. I'm just going on the logic of you got to break in a quarterback.
How about this? This is going to be maybe an unpopular opinion alert. I think their quarterback play, no matter who it is going to be an upgrade over Sam Ehlinger's deficiencies.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, well, that's – I can agree with there. I agree with you there.
Just
by the way, Ehlinger is about to win the starting position for the Colts.
Don't bet the Colts.
Oklahoma State, you like them?
I think they're. I think Oklahoma State will be a 20, team.
22.
I think they're going to be inside the top 15 all year long. I think Oklahoma State's going to be really good. It's Spencer Sanders' year to turn everything around and play like with the talent that everyone can see.
Real quick, my most overrated team on this entire poll.
Okay.
Indiana. 17 is way too high.
Going through the preseason college football coaches poll, Cincinnati. You mentioned them. They have an interesting schedule. You know why? Because they play the two teams that you are a little unsure of, thinking they're overrated. Indiana and Notre Dame.
Good.
It's pretty interesting because with those two games – if they were able to win them both and run the table.
And they're back-to-back, by the way.
Back-to-back.
They have a bye in between. But that's back-to-back right. Game, yeah.
So with those two possible out-of-conference wins, is it possible that would be enough to push them into
playoff discussion?
The playoff discussion and maybe even a spot in the college football playoff?
Well, they'll need help. They'll need help. They need like a – let's say Clemson wins the ACC with two losses. Or, let's say UCF you know, they play them on October 16th. Let's say that's a game of two undefeateds, and UCF runs the table, and Cincinnati's undefeated champions, UCF. And of course, they'd have to play UCF, I believe, in the championship game. I mean, that's where it's going to – their league, AAC is going to have to be good. I mean, I'm looking at SMU. They have potential. Tulsa, you never know. They have their up and down years. And I mentioned UCF. Their league has to be good. Their conference has to be good. And they'll need a little help outside.
Yeah, and it would certainly –
I mean, it'd help if Indiana and Notre Dame are good.
That's right. That's exactly where I was going to go. If you could figure out a way to beat Indiana and say they only lost one other game, and Notre Dame kind of the same way, if they ended up, you know, 10-2.
I mean, what do you think the perception would be if they beat Indiana and then Indiana goes and beats Ohio State?
Oh, huge. Huge deal for Cincinnati. And UCF is it, or USF, I guess, is one of those teams that sometimes is good, sometimes isn't. South Florida.
South Florida, yeah.
You know, you've seen them rocket up at times. But, yeah.
I mean, who's coaching there now?
UCF is the team. You know, Central Florida, if they can get it going early to where you're right, that is one of those – with those two feathers underneath the Cincinnati cap already, and then get another top 25 win, that would be huge for their for their chances. What I'm saying is, though, I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility.
No, I think
because of the schedule.
Yeah, because of the schedule.
And how good they were last year. Because this is kind of one of those Boise type, you know, years ago.
Yeah.
Where they're really good, and then they hit it, you know, then they're good again, and they start mounting those years up. Is there a team in this poll that you could see just rocket up toward the top?
That's in the poll that could increase their stock. I would say Oregon.
Me too. That's the one I'm dead looking at is Oregon because they go to Ohio State early on.
Yeah. They go there and win. Absolutely.
They have it.
They go there and win. They're easily top 10.
Week two, going to Ohio State.
Right.
That is a chance right there for the Oregon Ducks. I'm interested in USC.
Yeah, I almost said them too.
I'm interested in USC, just to kind of where they're at. Clay Helton's seventh year. God, that didn't even seem possible, right? And they have Keaton Slovis, the quarterback. They're getting into about a decade since the penalties were handed down. So have they rebuilt the depth? Where are they at from a recruiting, you know, a talent standpoint? They're one of those that's really interesting to me. And it's not just because we're right here. I'm serious. Oklahoma State, I think they have a chance to really shoot up this poll. Because if they can find a way to go to Boise and win in week three, sure looks like a bunch of wins on that schedule to me.
Right.
You know, Missouri State, Tulsa, that at Boise. Then they get Kansas State. Then they get Baylor in Stillwater before heading down to Texas the week after the Red River rivalry. But that two-game stretch at Texas, at Iowa State, will know exactly where OSU is.
What happens if Georgia just annihilates Clemson? They just trade spots?
Probably.
I think so.
Probably. Ohio State, you know, that's the thing about OU's schedule this year. There isn't the massive non-conference game that there is a lot of times.
Yeah.
Nebraska's no good, or seemingly no good.
Yeah.
And so –
people wonder why they scheduled that game. Well, they scheduled it like 10 years ago.
Well, and it's the 50th anniversary of the game of the century and all that. I think you could see OU start at 3 – and get passed early on by Georgia, by Ohio State, especially if they look impressive in doing that. You know, that Georgia-Clemson game is going to be one of the, if not the marquee games of the whole college football season.
Kind of like what Auburn and, what was it?
Oregon.
Oregon. Yeah. If Georgia just annihilates Clemson, people might whisper, man, this might be the year that the Pac-12 has a chance to get in outside – over the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's going to have to.
You see what I'm saying? I mean,
somebody's going to have to challenge Clemson.
Yeah.
And if they're down just a little bit, for sure.
Because that perception, we talk about perception, if if say Georgia beats them by three touchdowns, everyone's going to go, God, well, do you really want to put Clemson in the playoff and go up against the SEC team? Look what happened last time they played this season.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Hey, you know what? This poll doesn't matter. Come on.
I think it does, actually.
The college football poll, the playoff poll, man.
I think it matters,
people
though.
People love this stuff, and people overreact to this stuff like we just did for 30 minutes.
Yeah, but you have to start high. It behooves you to be high.
I understand.
Because I know it's different, but you can't tell me that the college football playoff people don't look at the polls week after week after week and see kind of how they're being ranked.
That's true.
And you'd rather start at three.
How do you know if it's an upset?
You don't. Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.